Well, let's stay with that thought a moment, and I'll give you another famous quote, this one from Cooper. I'm sure you remember. It is difficult to kill a sheep with dignity in a modern language, to flay and to prepare it for the table, detailing every circumstance of the process. Difficult also, without sinking below the level of poetry, to harness mules to a wagon, particularizing every article of their furniture, straps, rings, staples, and even the tying of the knots that kept all together. Homer, who writes always to the eye with his sublimity and grandeur, has the minuteness of a Flemish painter.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
How was that for you, and having to figure out how Dorlocks work?
I'm sure the passage that he has in mind is, there are several, but the most notable one is Iliad 24, when the mules are being yoked to the chariot that's going to carry the ransom for Hector's body. And it is very minute. We have a lot of chariots being harnessed, and for instance, in the end of 19.
But I was just wondering if you found, there's that sort of interesting problem. This is going back to ancient criticism that leads to that difference between Virgil and Homer in tone. And if there's a range of things, a world and range of things in Homer, that's sort of more encompassing, including the vulgarity that's thrown against, the soldiers,
I think it's a larger world that Homer inhabits, a vast world. He saw life steadily and saw it whole. Now, Virgil learned a great deal from Homer. But what did he contribute? That's his own. Some people might say, well, kind of melancholy. It's cast over it all. You never have anything like that in Homer. Maybe even a sense of regret. And you don't have that either in Homer. But this steady vision, nonetheless, is the source of a deep compassion, which is not in the least bit sentimental.
I was wondering if we might go to a scene that we did talk about earlier, and that is Thersites, just because this goes to thinking of yourself as an American translator, maybe. What does, in your mind, when you look at book two and that scene with Thersites, sort of how did you connect with that? That's a difficult scene in some ways. It's an element of scapegoating to it, et cetera.
Yeah, so Thersites is a loudmouth, and he's trying to stir up the troops to rebel. And Odysseus is going to take care of him. This is the first time we see Odysseus in action. First of all, I see this, as a semi-comic reflection of the quarrel between Achilles and Agamemnon, in the first book. And the language that I had Achilles used in my first draft, and that got edited out deliberately with my approval, Achilles says to him, "You sorry profiteering excuse for a commander. How will any Greek warrior ever follow your ragged ass into battle again?" So when the translation was done, it had been through copy edit even, this is the last chance. My editor, Brian Rack, came down to Lawrence, my town, and he said, "Okay, we have two things here. First, we have to pick a cover." And we agreed we don't want anything Greek on the cover. The cover has to announce this is an American translation, that it's a war epic. And the landing at Normandy on the cover does reflect that. But then he said, "And we have to go through the text and remove any phrase upon which a hostile reviewer might seize and use as an excuse to dismiss the entire translation." I said, yeah, right. We have to do that for sure. So we removed the ragged ass. It still reads pretty well. It's still strong language. But I didn't forget that ragged ass when I came to the Thersites passage. And there I can get away with it.
Do you want to read that part of that? Because this is where... you know, we can come back to this question of communicative versus semantic translation.
So this is Odysseus talking to Thersites. I don't care how bell-toned and orator you are, you're nothing but trash. There's no one lower in all the army that followed Agamemnon to Troy. You have no right even to mention kings in public, much less badmouth them so you can get to go home. We have no idea how things are going to turn out, what kind of homecoming we Achaeans will have, yet you have the nerve to revile Agamemnon, son of Atreus, the shepherd of his people. Notice how formal my language becomes there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Danaan heroes are generous to him. You think you can stand up in public and insult him? Well, let me tell you something. I guarantee that if I ever catch you running on at the mouth again as you were just now, my name isn't Odysseus. And may I never again be called Telemachus' father if I don't lay hold of you, strip your ass naked, and run you out of the assembly and through the ships, crying in all the ugly licks I land on you. So, strip your ass naked, ragged ass. You have that language here, but I wanted to point out that I'm being almost Lattimorean in the formality of shepherd of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe in strong juxtapositions like that.
Well, and I think that you've captured something that's very real. There's a rare threat of, he's punishing him as an inferior, right? So stripping him naked and exposing the clothing that covers his genitals, as a sort of refers to in the Greek, is a way of saying, you know, what we will mete out to you, one does to an inferior.
Yes.
And so there's that threat of exposure, you know, psychologically it's very powerful. But it's interesting the way you went for that Americanism of strip your ass naked.
Yeah, I remember thinking about that, eidoia, the Greek word,
right,
which conveys a sense of shame.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we don't have that, you know, with genitalia. And so I settled on strip your ass naked.
Well, I thought what I would do is revisit this in Lattimore, just because to me we can sense what different translators are going for, right?
Uh-huh,
and so what you'll see with him is things that he's picking up on the Greek, but at the same time, you catch the rhythm of this, which was so important to him. If once more I find you playing the fool as you are now, nevermore let the head of Odysseus sit on his shoulders. Let me nevermore be called Telemachus' father if I do not take you and strip away your personal clothing, your mantle and your tunic that cover over your nakedness, and send you thus bare and howling back to the fast ships, whipping you out of the assembly place with the strokes of indignity.
Yes.
Now, what's so funny about that to me is you can see the going for the dactyl, right? Whipping you out of the assembly place with the strokes of indignity. But at the same time, I remember asking myself, strip away your personal clothing, and I'm thinking, what other clothing is there? So, again, we see there the issue of condensation, right? That I think what you've captured is the drama of a man trying to humiliate him with a reference to some bodily exposure that is a ritualized kind of abuse. And in American, you know, we talk about kicking people's asses or throwing their asses
out. That's what we say. Yeah.
How was that received initially?
Classicists loved my translation. They really did. And some of them told me, I wish you had gone a little farther. You know, and I would tell them, well, I used to have, you know, ragged ass and the Achilles to Agamemnon. You should have done that. And I think that's true. But somehow I thought in the first book, you know, Agamemnon and Achilles, maybe it was right to tone it down. I mean, it's still pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very delicate. It really is. You're always on the razor's edge, you know, as a translator. You should be anyway. It's a very precarious undertaking. And you have to be very, very careful. As you just pointed out, you really have to keep in mind, okay, what's the overall thrust of this scene? Okay, Odysseus is going to embarrass the hell out of Thersites. And then you just go for that whatever way you can. That shapes the language, not the semantics.
Mm-hmm. And the need to get in the reference specifically to his chiton and his kleina. Right. Well, both of those are mentioned.
Yes.
And you realize, I think we can dispense
with it. We don't have to get into the details.